This is your World War III intraday update, a shocking turn of events as the Oval Office erupts in chaos as a heated exchange between a very intransigent Zelensky and a belligerent J.D. Vance and Donald Trump unfolds. Now, understand what this is. This is Zelensky reaching his expiration date. This is not a falling out of relations between the Ukrainians and the Americans. No, no. This is Zelensky, for whatever reason, getting put on blast, getting publicly railroaded and castigated in a way I don't think I've ever seen a benefactor castigate its vassal in the presence of millions of people before. This was Zelensky getting given his walking papers, and it's looking like he's going to resign. Now, it's first and foremost important to understand that this deal that they're trying to broker is a Trojan horse. The Russians don't want this deal. The Americans want this deal, but not because it's going to give them billions and billions of dollars of free money. That's not what this is about. This is a Trojan horse under the guise of the security and prosperity in the reconstruction process of Ukraine in order to create a slush fund of sorts that's going to be leveraged by the military-industrial complex to militarize Ukraine and effectively make it a de facto NATO state. That's what this is all about. Now, they need somebody to sign the papers. And for whatever reason, perhaps they thought that Zelensky was just no longer conducive to the master plan. Of course, when you say Zelensky, half the population in the United States is going to have a negative association with that word. And if you can get rid of him and you can get some no-name brand in there in his place, then that is probably going to be very useful towards the ends of having this frozen line of conflict, contact, perhaps that was a Freudian slip, where you have, as Trump has stated in recent days, European peacekeepers on the ground protecting U.S. assets. That's what this is all about. And Trump has made it abundantly clear with respect to their commitment to this plan. I do believe the plan is real. Some people are suspecting that they don't want to go through with the plan because it's not profitable. It's important to understand the plan for what it is. It's a Trojan horse to militarize Ukraine. That's all it is. Period, point blank. They want that. Mike Waltz wants that. Now, if they didn't want to be involved in this conflict at all, they could just walk away, okay? Trump does not need to recoup $100 billion. He does not need to do all this in order to recoup the American people's money, and they're not going to recoup it. The only way they're going to recoup it is through the industrial kickbacks of having Ukraine basically buy stuff from the United States to reconstruct itself, which really, at the end of the day, is going to be the remilitarization. So Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, companies like that, they're the ones that are going to benefit. So this is really just about getting rid of the weakest link here in terms of the minds of the American people. You put some guy up there now who you can't pronounce his name and you don't know who he is from a hole in the ground. You can probably do whatever you want, and he's going to act like a good little lapdog. Unlike Zelensky, who's perhaps been all too conditioned to make demands as if his name is Benjamin Netanyahu or something, only he can go to the United States and make all these demands and have everybody stand at attention and give record amounts of standing ovations and all that stuff. Zelensky kind of let that go to his head, okay? And so you see this ingratiating demeanor with Zelensky today, which perhaps he did not cater to Trump's ego enough, okay? So, of course, his message has been deeply ingrained into his head to the point of intransigence where it's purely about the message, and he'll say it over and over, you know, Slava Ukraine, we got to keep fighting, we can't have peace, we got to get the terror, you know, that whole line. And so J.D. Vance, to his credit, and I know some people are like, oh, you're too hard on Trump and Vance. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. In terms of staying true to their mandate, at least on the surface, on the superficial layer, to MAGA, this is going to appear, and as it should, that they stayed true to their mandate of holding Zelensky's feet to the fire and saying the killing has to stop. You know, and J.D. Vance called him out. I was actually surprised because I was just saying, it's almost like they're reading my tweets. Maybe they are. Just to get a read of the room. And he basically called him out for the fact that you're hauling these guys off against their will and sending them into the meat grinder. And that was a point of contention that I had with Vance and Trump, is that they weren't bringing that up. The fact that there are hundreds of videos of guys being like kidnapped off the street, okay? And there are all kinds of horror stories about intentional friendly fire, torture, you know, false imprisonment. The list goes on, and just abuse of martial law powers that is currently ongoing in Ukraine. So, yeah, this is, you have to give credit where credit is due. And I stand corrected when I said in my video that I just released this morning, of course, where I said that Trump walked back his comments about Zelensky being a dictator. And I thought that that was part of the mixed messaging Hegelian dialectic that they're trying to set up here. It appears as though they don't care about Zelensky at all and that his days are numbered. And in fact, they're going to replace him with another patsy, and people are going to view that as a win. But understand, the Russians don't want a deal. The Russians do not want the Americans in there. They'll have the Americans in there on their turf with their military surrounding them, but they don't want them on the other side because they know exactly what that means. And Trump made it abundantly clear what that means, okay? And that means that they essentially have tacit military security guarantees. If you have American companies working on the ground, that means you're going to have American private security contractors working on the ground as well. And it's going to be very difficult to differentiate I don't know what the new ones are called. Maybe they don't even have names anymore, but like the Blackwater from a NATO merc, right? Or a Ukrainian military. So we know that Trump is open to having European troops in there. We know that they want the deal. Mike Waltz has emphasized it as much. We know they want that. So the question is, what happened next? That's the question. Now, there's plenty of ways this could end very, very badly, and this could backfire, and it seems like it already is backfiring. Well, the Trump and Vance administration got the last word. In the long term, this might actually end badly for them, okay? Zelensky, with the exception of one good jab that he got in on a guy who said, hey, why don't you wear a suit? And he fired back and said, I'll wear a costume when the war ends. I mean, I actually, you know, I think that's the only, well, second to I don't need a ride, I need weapons. Those are the two cool things that Zelensky has said up until this point. And I'll wear a costume when the war ends. That's an epic statement. I mean, you got to admit that was, and that's one of those things where when you don't have a mastery of the English language and you have that handicap like Zelensky did in this particular situation, you know how kids say the darndest things because they don't totally understand things and they'll ask strange questions. You know, I mean, that was, I almost want to write that on a t-shirt, man. But in every other way, he was completely and utterly humiliated and put in his place. Okay. This was clearly a public railroading of massive proportions. And like Lindsey Graham said in a post press conference, they don't think they can do business with this guy. And if what's his face, Lindsey Graham is saying, hey, we can't do business with you anymore. That's your walking papers, all right? But don't confuse it. Don't get it twisted. This is still the same. We're still in the same situation. They've basically walked back some USAID funding for reconstructing Ukraine's critical infrastructure. Nothing major. They're still sending weapons, you know? So the only thing that has actually changed, and I will say that this is the first time we've actually seen Trump and Vance demonstrate and do something, even though it's still just talk, but something actionable against the previous administration's policies. But above and beyond that, nothing has changed. Now, one thing has changed, and that's on the Russian side. They are saying that they've selected a new ambassador for Washington. So this is actually bullish for peace, okay? And this is why I'm actually breathing a bit of sigh of relief today, not just because of this falling out. This falling out is actually going to end in disaster, and it's going to escalate things faster and further. But the most peaceful prospect that we have right now is that the Russians have selected a new ambassador to go back to Washington. Whether or not they'll be received is another story. Now, Biden had an ambassador all throughout his administration up until September when things got really heated. There was a falling out. The U.S. greenlit deep strikes into Russia. That was arguably one of the high points of the conflict. Not the high point, but one of the high points. And it's also worth noting, before I go on any further, that prior to the spat at the Oval Office, Catherine Levitt, she kicked out Russian reporters before that thing happened. Okay, so they removed TASS, which is basically Russia's BBC or CBC or CNN, I guess you could say. CNN is probably, the Americans really don't have an equivalent, I guess it would be like PBS. They kicked them out before that meeting in the Oval Office. Now that says everything right there. Okay. That tells you when you think the Russians were kicked out when Zelensky was getting reprimanded. That tells you everything about the American position on Russia, Ukraine right there. They're on the side of Ukrainians. The Russians are not able to exploit the situation and report on it as they perhaps would have liked, but Zelensky is gone. So that shows you in a nutshell what is going on. It shows you that no, they're not beholden to the Russians, and maybe they just did that because they didn't want to be accused of allowing them in. You know, anything is possible at this point in time. Anything is possible. But go back and look at Marco Rubio's body language throughout the course of that. He was staying very silent because, of course, he's been on Zelensky's side for a long time, as has been Lindsey Graham. Now, if you're somebody watching this and you're in the runnings to be the next Patsy Fall Guy for the United States, you're second guessing your decisions at this point in time, right? You're looking at what's happening. I mean, if you didn't learn from Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden and everybody else that they built up only to take down over time, you're looking at this and you're saying, gee, maybe it's a good time to get out. Maybe I'm not going to trust these guys. But, you know, I mean, the United States is resourceful. And when they come to these guys and they come bearing gifts, what is that old saying? Beware of the Greeks when they come bearing gifts. You know, it's hard to resist. It must be hard to resist. We'll give you all kinds of weapons, you know, give you all kinds of money and all this stuff. That's very, very difficult to resist, right? But what they can give it, they can take it away. Now, all of the other NATO members have unanimously come in support of Zelensky right out the gates. Mark Rutte, Macron, Germany, all committing to come to Ukraine's assistance in the fight immediately afterwards. And in fact, Starmer went in there to mediate immediately after this thing fell through and called Zelensky and Trump. So I would not be surprised, okay, and Polymarket believes there's a 50% chance that we still get Zelensky signing the deal. As crazy as that sounds, anything can happen. Trump can say, in the heat of passion, we had a fight and, you know, both sides, but we've come to, you know, reassert our common alliance and whatever, you know, whatever they're going to say, whatever sort of newspeak they're going to say. But it's very likely that ultimately this will be the impetus to his resignation, I do think, in the long term. Now, how can things get crazy, eyes? Blue-haired crazy is about to go crazy. Radicalized NAFO elements are about to do some crazy shit. Let's not forget who took a shot at Trump. The two people who took a shot at Trump were the NAFO maniacs, right? The ones who are hardline Ukrainers. Now, it was not only that. It was a confluence of a variety of highly politicized talking points. But you have to understand that there's radicalized ideological elements on the Ukrainian side, many of which are more than willing to sacrifice their own lives for the cause. And there ain't nothing like Ukrainian terrorism, all right? These guys are heavily armed. They have the most modern combat experience out of any army, next only to the Russians. And if they militarize that against us, and we start to see terrorist attacks utilizing heavy weapons, we're talking about having access to boatloads of fissile material that they could convert into nuclear weapons or dirty bombs in the very least. We're talking about some of all fears type stuff here. The Ukrainians have the ability to bring to bear some pretty large-scale terrorist attacks if they wanted to. And I say rogue Ukrainian elements, not all Ukrainians. It's always some radicalized element, of which there are those that exist in Ukraine, if only from the relatives of the people who've had to make sacrifices, who feel that they've been now thrown under the bus by the West. And one of the things that the West fears most, I would say above and beyond the potential for terrorism, above and beyond Zelensky being martyred. Actually, that's what the Americans and the Trump administration would fear, was a Zelensky martyrdom. But what they fear the most is the Slavic people uniting against Western Europe. That's what this is all about. This is what Putin has thought it's all been about since the beginning. And he stated in his interview with Tucker Carlson, if you recall, that this is a civil war amidst the Slavic peoples. If you have Slavic unification against Europe, it's game over for Europe. These guys have the most experience points. They have the biggest armies. I mean, Ukraine has the biggest army by far. People talk about the biggest army in Europe. It's not Turkey. It's Ukraine who has the biggest army. Even though a lot of those guys are just conscripts, you have the most battle-hardened, seasoned generals who are the most up-to-date on modern drone warfare and just the intricacies of this combined arms warfare against a peer adversary who is, for the most part, on the cutting edge of technology, not in the sense that they have fifth and sixth generation fighters to throw around in laser weapons, but the Russians are fairly advanced. And Ukraine has a lot of intelligence. They have a lot of manpower. They have people who are willing to fight, especially you have people who've been fighting in an attrited form for so long that if you were to give those people armaments in the amounts that they need, that would likely reinvigorate that military, who is probably quite demoralized right now. Okay. But if you were to resupply those guys who've been, you know, just eating shitty rations and only having two or three bullets rationed out to them a day or whatever it is, you know, if you were to re-equip those guys, I bet you they would be reinvigorated. And what Europe and the United States fear is a unified Slavic people under the auspices of Russia. That's what they fear most. Now, what Trump and Vance need to be worried about is not only the radicals that are going to emerge from this, the blue-haired menace, but they also need to worry about making a martyr out of Zelensky, because that could happen. If he is exiled or if he is assassinated, that would be, that would not be good. That would backfire immensely. It's already backfiring. You already have people turning against the United States, and if they think that this whole facade is going to trick the Russians into trusting them after everything that has happened, I mean, all this does, it's like talking badly about your ex to your new girlfriend. You know, all she's going to think is, oh, you know, this guy's going to trash talk me when the time comes, right? So the Russians are viewing this as, okay, this is all fine and dandy that you're throwing Ukraine under the bus, but that's very ignoble of you. You know, that's dishonorable in a way, that you would just purge your vassal after they've expended their utility to you. So the United States needs to be very, very cautious. See, what always happens in these political situations is both sides always overplay their hand. And putting Zelensky on blast like this may have been good for Trump's base. And I say base because there is a lot of conservatives in the United States who support the Ukrainian cause. But for his hardline MAGA base, they are going to rejoice in Trump's statements and his commitment to peace. However, this is going to create pushback from a lot of people around the world, and you are going to start to see the other side now, because they just went a little bit too far. It would have been okay if they would have challenged him a little bit, but for it to have devolved in the way that it did, and I don't think Zelensky was being condescending. Some people will say he was, you know, intentionally trying to argue with these guys. You got to factor in the language barrier for one. If we're being fair, Zelensky doesn't speak English. He can't comprehensively express himself quickly enough in a shouting match, especially when he's being reprimanded by two, if not more, people who are taking shots at him in the room. I think that he is just so accustomed to getting what he wants that now he's being told no, and you know, he just has to keep restating his lines. I don't think that he is ungrateful, obviously. I think that he's made that abundantly clear. And I think that was a very trifling criticism that Vance made towards Zelensky, that he doesn't say thank you enough. I think that's just stupid. I mean, you know, it's just trivial. There's plenty of reasons to criticize Zelensky that were good that Vance did. And then there were other ones where it looked as though they were clearly just trying to instigate a fight. And they were successful in that respect. Now, we could see more false flags. At the time of making this video, a hospital was hit by a missile in Kharkov. Now, I don't know. That would be very poor timing on the part of the Russians, okay? So it's quite possible that that was an attempt to try to win more support, and it might have been a wayward interceptor that was fired by Ukraine. So those are the possible outcomes. Zelensky signs a deal. Zelensky resigns. Zelensky is assassinated or exiled. Radical NAFO elements commit terrorist attacks. Ukraine continues to provoke Russia and conduct false flag operations in order to win the approval of Europe. And Ukraine potentially turns the other way and says, you know what, F you, we're actually going to cede territory to the Russians, and we're going to work with the Russians. We're going to try to unify under the Russian banner. As unlikely as that seems, that was somewhat the arrangement before 2014, let's not forget. So anyways, that's all I have to say about that today. Either way, it's about to get very, very interesting. Thanks for watching, my friends. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, blah, 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 blah.